Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is moving. He loves us. God loves us. You know, the Lord set us up for victory every which way you look at it. And the more I know Him, the more I learn from Him, the greater I see things. And I talk about love a lot because that's how everything works. Faith works by love. It's not the other way around. Because of love, you can have faith. You know, we need and we use the principles of faith to enforce our love. Because love is charity. Love is a verb. Faith is also a verb. What you do. If you believe God and you when you act on it, when you act on your belief, it's faith. When Paul asked the question, "Who are you, Lord?" he became a new man. He called Jesus Lord. He called him Lord. He called him Lord. And he became a new man. In Acts chapter 9, after he was knocked down on the road to Damascus. And then Jesus told him who he was. "I'm Jesus, and it's hard for you to kick against the pricks." See, the first introduction to Jesus was the speech, the message that Stephen preached. That's what was pricking his heart, because Stephen preached the life of God in the same words of the law that he read. But it was without the works of the law. It was, he heard the law of faith in Stephen's words. Excuse me. Now, and when you're introduced to more, that word gets in your heart and it gives you the ability to believe. And when you act on it, he was fighting, he was at war against God because he was used to things being one way. And he had to understand that God is love. And we do God the same way. I learned something when the Lord taught me to love His people. Now, I introduced the works of Jesus gave me, you know, it caught my attention. God became a man, died for us so we could live. That got my attention. And along the course of my life, people talked about other gods. They talked about the Muslim religion. Other religions. Then some people say, well, you can choose any one of them to get you to God. And people really believe stuff like this. They're not everybody's not biblical. And sometimes people come from a Christian home, but they still believe that you can be a Buddhist or a Muslim or, ancestor worship. Whatever you want to do, just do right and you'll go to heaven. That's wrong. These tribal belief systems came about a long time ago when Joshua went to Canaan land. He drove out the giants. The giants went other places and they bullied mankind. They were cannibalistic. They made them worship them. That's why people dress up in them feathers and dance around with fire like it's, you know, you wonder why, where did that start? They do that all over the world too. But the giants bullied men into false worship. They made them worship them or they'd kill them or something. You know, it's crazy. Well, the giants went underground. They died out. They didn't just fade away. They got off the face of the earth. And, Steve Quayle did a good job of exposing some things about giants. And a lot of tribal people say the same thing. They talk about how there were giants in the Americas, as well as all over the earth. And but when the gospel spread, they went underground. So they didn't. They exist, but. But it's That's why God, when the Lord flooded the earth, the water, first of all, the great deep broke, because they were the people on earth at that time that were giants before the flood and after that. So according to Genesis 6, I'm bringing this up because I want to show you how things originate. And that's why salvation by works is so beloved among the world. If I'm good enough, God will accept me. It's not that way. God, Jesus came and died in our place, and he loves us. He wants us to know him. And he's real. He's the real God. And he's the one that's why the giants was brought forth. Fallen angels slept with the daughters of men and also beast to bring about an abomination, basically. He was trying to keep Christ from coming in the first place. You know, if you look at, when you study the Word of God, you look at what happened as a strategy behind everything that the enemy did. And so, you know, all the land was once in one place. But when men decided to build a tower to heaven, and they were one, and they had a leader, they had an evil leader called Nimrod, the Lord confounded their languages. They separated themselves because they couldn't understand each other's speech anymore. And that tower of earthquake happened, and it sunk. A third of it sunk, and some of it got burned up. It was huge. And it talks about it in the book of Jasher. Now, all these things happen. What the modern mind would say, well, that can't happen. Yes, it did. David killed the giant with six fingers and six toes. That's not normal. And the height of him and the stature of him was not normal either. And he had a natural hatred for God. And that's not normal. Even Philistines wasn't as bad as Goliath was. But he was with them. And there are other evidences. Before I go any further, since I brought all that up, and I know I hate to, you know, sometimes you have to warn people. The giants went underground. I realized that because of the way the Lord did the flood. One day I was studying Genesis, how the Lord flooded the earth. Before it rained for the first time, it didn't rain. The earth was watered from the ground. Well, the great deep broke, and the ground became, you know, all the men on earth got stuck in the mud. Then it rained, because you're dealing with people that's a genius. You know, the Word of God gives us that clue, and it said that these giants, they were like men of old, men of renown. They were not of Adam. They didn't come from Adam. But when the fallen angels slept with the daughters of men, you had giants, and they were just like those before Adam. And they were very clever, and it caused men to have a bloodlust, and they lust after the lust of the flesh. Lust is an appetite of demons on men. Demons are disembodied spirits. They are the spirits from the giants. When the giants die, and they live to be about 500 years. So when they die, they don't go to heaven. And they don't go to paradise. And they don't have to go to hell like men yet. So they're disembodied spirits. Jesus cast, when he cast the spirits out of Legion, they went into those pigs and ran into the ocean and died. Well, where did the spirits come from? They're not fallen angels. They were the spirits of the giants. It's been proven. It's how it is. That's what gives you evil thoughts, fiery darts, things like that. So, I was telling my daughter about this, and she told me about all the, they took the map of all the cave openings, all the known cave openings in America. And then another map where everybody went missing. And one was on solid paper, the other one was cellophane with the dots on it. And then they laid one over the other, and they match. So people go missing where the caves are. Why? Because the giants went underground. That's what they did. And they still eat. They eat what they can get. So going around caves is not the best idea in the world. And Satan has a use for them. If giants came out and walked down the street, people, he know people will start turning to Jesus because they'll start doing research. It'll give Genesis 6 too much credibility. But when people don't know the word, they'll pop out sometime in places where the word is not preached. But he don't want to alert everybody. He wants people to be suckered into a negative lifestyle by choice. But see, once he alerts people, then they'll start doing research and start getting saved and start taking God serious. So, you know, if the devil's ways are movable, just like a lustful woman, you can't know what he's gonna do. You can't. There's no way to pinpoint what he's gonna do. He just tries stuff that he think will work. And he's not done. He's slick. He's smarter than men. Because he was once an angel. You have to understand that. But if you trust Jesus, you'll always be ahead of him. You know. So now, since I brought all that up, a lot of things that happened a long time ago, people are still, they made religions out of these deceptions. All over the world. All the religions in the world, they're pride-based. They're salvation by works. That's what they have in common. Whether it's ancestor worship, Islam, Buddhist, salvation by works, Hindu, all of it. And but with the Lord, he came, he died for in our place. He loves us. And see, when you love God, you'll start understanding. When you love man, it's easy to understand his love. Now, I learned some curious things when I began to love people. I know that faith works by love. So when I love people that were doing me wrong or trying to tempt me or make me angry or whatever, I understood God's love towards me based on the agape love of Jesus. See, when I learned about Jesus' love towards me, it made me want to seek him out. I wanted to respond, and I wanted to love God. I wanted to obey him. I was ashamed of all the evil that I knew I had done in the past. See, if you look back over the course of your life, when you were a younger version of yourself, before Christ, you thought a certain way. Before you met Jesus, you thought like the world. You were alone, and you had to figure everything out. So that's why worldly people are more aggressive than people of faith. People of faith, they're not as aggressive sometimes because they have peace. But see, when you have peace, you have to be aggressive to learn more. And you have to have, you need to be aggressive to get an education. You feel confident. When people feel comforted, they're not as aggressive. But when they're after pride, they become aggressive. They want to learn. They're motivated to go forward. So if you have the peace of God, you still need to be motivated to go forward. Motivated to love God. David was motivated to be, when he was anointed king, he was faithful. He was humble. See, when you serve God with what God give you, that's humility. That's real humility. But some people are aggressive because they're on a conquest to, they're on a pride conquest. A pride conquest, people are aggressive and they'll do anything. It's like they're driven. But when people have the love of God in them, they're not driven. But the love of God, they're on a quest to do the things of God because they have peace and great joy. The enemy will accuse a person that has authentic love in his heart. He will accuse them of being just like the person that has pride in his heart. And he'll say nothing about the person that's driven by pride. And they can look the same from a certain point of view. But the difference is the motive. And you can't always tell a person's motive. But God can. So that's why the last broadcast I did, you know, there are churches out there, and the Lord has to deal with the heart of man. He knows their intents and their motives, and I can't tell. So people want to know, well, who are the lukewarm church? I do not know, but I know they're out there because the Lord had me teaching about it. But the lukewarm church that is out there, they really don't want to know God. So you got pastors that really love God, and sometimes in some circles or denominations, the pastor may be sent by a bishop to a church, okay? He really wants to do the things of God. He's all in. He wants to know God. But if they send him to a congregation, they really don't want to know God, they're going to vote him out. And that happens all the time. That happens in every year, every decade, every generation it happens. And you hear about it. But if you got people, I've heard so many testimonies from pastors, you know, I got tired of hearing about it. The man preaches hard out there and the deacon board vote him out. I even heard one church say, well, we don't talk about the homosexuals. We let that go. We let that slide. Because they had homosexuals in the church. See, they are paying preachers to quell the gospel. And if the pastor don't dance, they vote him out. But if he danced, they pay him to stay silent. And they take up big offerings to tell so that he'll tell them what they want to hear. And God is, you know, he has to make a protocol because of what people have done. But guess what? He loves the people regardless. So because they decided to run with the world, then the Lord had to deal with it. So years ago, I noticed that he said the tares are bound in bundles to be burned. I'm like, wait a minute. That's curious. Years ago, I was putting a sign up at church when the pastor sold that dirt. It was dirt for sale. Big old sign. But while I was doing that sign, I said, Lord, what does that mean? What are you doing? Burning? They're bound in bundles to be burned. And this is what he helped me understand. He said, everybody, whether they're right or wrong, they want solace. When you're wrong and doing worldly things, you don't have the peace of God anymore. So you take solace in people who are like-minded. So preachers that preach a lukewarm gospel attract people that love lukewarm living. And then the people that really love God and want to know God, they came to Jesus because they love him. And they go to a church where the people and the pastor are lukewarm. That vexes their spirit. And they don't know what's wrong because these are the people of God. Everybody looks and acts the same. But they don't know what it is and why they don't want to go to that church anymore. If they get in the word, they'll know that it's a den of thieves. And there's a lot of den of thieves. They're just a den of thieves. They're trying to go around Jesus and around his principles, see. They name his name. They sing his song, but they want Jesus on their terms, just like those that wanted the fish and the loaf. They didn't receive his principles. So they're still trying to ease around Jesus to go to heaven anyway and carry their nasty sins with them. They're thieves and robbers. And people sincerity attracts sincerity. So when sincere people hear a sincere man of God, they feel they don't want to leave church. They want to stay. They want to come back to the night service and the midweek service, and they want to be there. And I know people get busy in life, You know, I for a long time I worked two jobs. I hadn't been able to go to Wednesday service in a long time. But I want to. And I watch it I watch the broadcast. People have to do, you have to do what you have to do. But you want to be there. It's the same, and when people are, when they love God, you want to be there. You don't want to miss anything. But when people go lukewarm, if a lukewarm believer is married to somebody that goes to a good church and they go as a couple, but they really want to be lukewarm, but the preacher is on fire for God. He loves God. He preached the word. He teaches like it's supposed to be taught. And he's sincere, so he'll attract sincere people. So he's attracting the spouse that really want to know him. The other one is being vexed because they really want to play with the world. And over time, something's going to happen. Either the one that's not that love the world going to stop loving the world and become sincere, then they'll have a good marriage. Or the heart will harden and they're going to leave. Because people are serious about what they choose to do. They're not kidding. When people take that lukewarm position, they're serious about it, and that's what they're going to do. And if you try to convince them, you're just making them mad at you, because they're not going to repent, because they don't want to. And God has to deal with this. When people take a position, he will allow them to take a position. Does he still love them? He really does. So, look at this picture I'm gonna print out here. The Lord, he bound the tares and bundles to be burned. See, knowledge increased. And so people it's easier to find a church that say what you want. It's all over the internet. See, years ago there was no internet. It was harder to do this. But you can find a church in your local area that's preaching about whatever you want to go along with. And eventually you're going to go, or that, you know, whether it's a sincere church or a lukewarm church. And there are different types of lukewarm church. Some people, they bail out because they're a fornication or adultery. I heard about a pastor. He had dated several women in the church, people's wives, and the people still stayed there. And waited on him till he got out of jail. So, and the wife told what he did, and nobody cared. Now, Peter, you making that up? I wish I was making that up. So people do things. I don't even like talking about those kind of miseries. Lukewarm people are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They left God a long time ago. They want Jesus on their terms. And they mean it. They're not kidding. So, I was always puzzled when the Lord taught me beautiful things about love. And I would share it with people. And people would act like they'd rather not know that. It concerned me. But there were those that wanted to know more about it. And there are those that discounted it. And it was like a boring conversation to them. While the ones that really love the sincere people, they really want to know more. And you can hold a decent conversation with them. Because when people really don't want to know God, that's what they mean it. They ain't kidding. They love God so much. But not, you know, they don't want to give God everything. And God has to deal with this problem. But he loves the people. And sometimes people don't understand what they're walking away from because they can't judge it yet. And he's patient with people. And that's one thing I learned from him. You deal with people where they are. If people can't see what you see, love them anyway. Are they out of the kingdom? Not necessarily. Sometimes they just don't see what you see yet. You have to wait. Some things you just have to wait. Till they grow. and be kind. Over time, they'll see it. I've seen people respond to the love of God that they used to respond rather negatively. Then they when the chips are down, they go to people that they that have earned their trust, and then they start seeking the Lord. And it takes time. On average, it takes 10 years for a man to get saved after he hear the gospel. Took me 9.5 years. So you gotta be patient with people, because God is. Now, so the wisdom of God here, I'm painting that picture again. He bound the tares and bundles to be burned. Now, they already grew together with the people of God. They married them. They had sometimes the children of tares, sometimes the parents, sometimes the grandparents, sometimes one of the spouses. They grow together. But he bound them in bundles to be burned, because they can't go to heaven. And every tare that die, they just go to hell. They don't even get us. They don't. They go to hell. They don't go to heaven. So he bound them in bondage to be burned. So they attracted to whatever sin they like the most, and people ever condone it. That's where they get their solace. And then they don't realize that they're not in the peace of God. But the solace of man is nothing like the peace of God. But if you don't, if you walk away from the love of God, you can't tell, because you love something else. So he has a protocol. Now, those that are sincere, they are the ones that they're like the people that the Lord told Isaiah, seal up the law among my disciples. So Isaiah sealed the law among his people that loved him. And there was a mystery against those that didn't. See, God been doing this a long time. And if you read Isaiah 28 and 29, they couldn't figure it out whether they were educated or uneducated. It was sealed against them. The Pharisees couldn't figure out. They didn't understand the love of God. But they saw it displayed. They heard Jesus say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And the moment he died, the veil in the temple was torn in half, because that was done away with. God don't need a temple anymore. And when Jesus come, he don't need a temple anymore. The temple that they deal within is just be for show. But it's not necessary, because you have Jesus. So, you know, the Jewish mind had to deal with this. Then there were people that got saved, became dedicated. On the day of Pentecost, you saw miracles being operated by common people, fishermen, tax collectors, and people that were unknown. And they tried to stop it because they couldn't see. The law was sealed against them, just like it is today. So when the Lord is moving by his spirit, and he wants us to know him. So he put on the light, he turned the lights on in his people who the law is not sealed to them, but it's not sealed against them. They can understand the light of God's word. So God introduced heavenly knowledge through people that are sincere, because sincerity begets sincerity. And he don't give heavenly knowledge through those that are leavened, because leaven begets leaven. So he sealed the law against those that are leavened and reveals it to those that walk in the light. And then when they do the works of God, if people can see it, and they know that they're wrong for a change. Now check this out. I noticed this about people. Love is interpreted the way they interpret it. People love others. They expect God to love them the way they love others. Consider this now. When they love their wife, and the more they, you know, they love their children, so they believe God's going to love them like they love others. But God's love is greater than them. Now, if that wife do something to make him mad, he'll leave. If the children do something to make him mad, he'll stop talking to them, because his love is limited. So he'll see God, he'll think God loves me like he loves others. Paul said it this way: to the pure, everybody's pure. But to those that are defiled, nothing's pure. to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing's pure. Not even God. People love the way that they understand love. But when you hear the gospel, the vision of God is in it. You can't ignore it. And when you receive the love of God and you love, the more you love others, the more you'll love God. See, God didn't give up on anybody. He put a protocol in place that will eventually, people will see the handiwork of God. Just like on the day of Pentecost. Peter said, this is that. They heard common people speaking fluent languages that never left Galilee. And they were talking about the wonderful works of God. Then the miracles started happening. Sons and daughters started prophesying. Even servants. The Jewish mind was just on overload. I'm talking about the Pharisee mind and the common mind. Now, Jesus introduced it, but now his disciples are doing what he did. Teaching people in the temple the life of God. And it was very effective. And the Gentiles received it. And then they saw Gentiles handling the things of God. And those that were given the pride got angry, and those that were sincere came to the Lord. Consider these things, because the Lord is about to return. I just want you to know what he's doing. And no man is going to walk out on the stage and start a revival. This revival has been started long ago. And the Lord is moving by his spirit among those who love him. See, they can't control this. You can pay a point man to shut it down. But you can't pay a million people to stop following God. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is